Kevin's going to make money today. He has tassels on his shoes.
Ecclesiastes 4. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 13. We've been there forever. Better is a poor and wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. The purpose of what we don't like or the purpose of suffering is admonishment. And until we learn to rest in it, then the admonishment has to continue. And we glory in it because his rod and his staff, they comfort us. Now, they certainly don't comfort the outside us. And so it's again all this mystery of being transformed from the image of God to the likeness of God. That's what everything is about. What?
I know this to be true.
For out of prison he cometh to reign, whereas also he that is born in his kingdom becometh poor. Now, out of prison he cometh to reign. The only prison ministry that there is that's legitimate, I mean, you can have any kind of ministry you want, I shouldn't say that, but the prison ministry is unlocking this mystery of Christ in you and taking the bars off. So out of prison is the word, it means a house of manacles or bonds. And it's what Christ is in each one of us. He's kept in prison by us. So we continue on blindly groping through the world, wanting the same thing the world does. But then he says this interesting thing. And he that is born in his kingdom becometh poor. Now this is a predicate for blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are everything. That is the opposite of what we think is blessed. So let's look at that a minute. Let's look at, do you understand? He that is born in the kingdom of God, out of he also becometh poor. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We go up to verse 5:18 is sort of the predicate for it. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, reconciliation, if you do the word study on it, means exchanged. There's an exchange that has to happen. Now, then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead that he be that you be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now, the now is the key. It's always the now. It's never the yesterday or never the tomorrow. Now is the accepted time. Now is always the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Now now the next few verses, down through verse 10, I think, are all about what we just learned. He that is born in his kingdom becometh poor. Now, I promise you, there is nothing in the next few verses that you will like. Nothing. So we have to go back to this. Whatsoever is highly esteemed among men is an abomination unto God. So listen carefully. In all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, is having nothing and yet possessing all things. Now, every single neuron of our brain is the antithesis of this. What?
That is power packed. That just covers so many.
The question after you read that is, what's your problem?
Now let's go look at another one. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I think. Let a man so account of us as the ministers or servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by or of myself, yet I am not hereby justified. Yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsel of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure, or type, or parable, transferred to myself, and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, and that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou did not receive? Now if thou did receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? Now you are full, now you are rich. You have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God you did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God has set forth us the apostles last, as it were, appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, unto angels, unto men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. And he's telling them to be followers of him as the offscouring of the world, as a spectacle. That's kind of wild. Remember, the predicate for this is that, and those that are born in his kingdom shall become poor. Now, what have we done with this? What does our mind do with this? We think that the instant that something doesn't go our way, that something is wrong. And we count it, and if something happens to go right, we say, God is really blessing me. We make mockery the mystery of God, and we are not good stewards of the mystery of the kingdom of God. We become terrible stewards because we make the mystery of God into an instrument of self-realization. They that are born in his kingdom shall become poor. There's nothing here about rich, nothing here about having that everything is going to go the way you think it should be. Read the Beatitudes. Read the Sermon on the Mount. You cannot have that. That cannot be lived without him. And it cannot be lived, in my opinion, without community. The question is, have you counted the cost? Do you understand that this mystery of God has absolutely nothing to do with your self-realization? If you expect to gain anything from becoming a believer, then you've been seduced by the evil one. What does it say again? The predicate for what we're studying. For out of prison, out of the house of bondage that we have put him in, does he come to reign? Whereas also he that is born in his kingdom becometh poor. Not just poor in finances, that's simple. But poor in every aspect, empty in every aspect of life. But think about what goes on a daily basis. How much of your life is devoted to enhancing you? Therefore, we are terrible stewards of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Anybody have any response?
The other day we read a lot, we haven't followed cunning fables. That's what passes for religion, is a cunning fable.
Anybody have any response? Anybody else?
Never had seen that. Just how clear it is.
When you, and again, any honest reading of the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes has to convict you to the nth degree. It has to bring you to the point of seeing, my God, how have I forsaken you? Now that, again, it isn't morbid. The repentance, it's once you see it, my God, there's a joy in
setting himself up as a model of how to, but he's a how to undo, you know, how to empty, how to cast off.
Let's look.
How to lose.
Let's look at another one, Philippians 2. Those that are born in his kingdom become poor. You find 1,000 people that disagree with this. So.
I think I heard Tony Robbins speak on this
one. Yeah.
Every word in here is true.
We have in the next issue of the newsletter, there's a it's just about unbelievable. It's getting harder and harder to do satire, but because this, and then next day they take a picture of the woman's sonogram, and then they put that picture on a wafer, so that you can eat your children. I mean, it's an advertisement.
That is.
And it's the perfect definition of Leviticus. It's in Leviticus 26.
Why?
Well, anyway, the script. I'm not going to go there now. But Leviticus 29. Yeah, that's right. No, it's 29:26.
Might be a typo.
There is no 29.
26:29, and you shall eat the flesh of your. This is talking about the penalties of disobedience. And you shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters you shall eat. And again, that's what we do when you gain sustenance from your accomplishments of your children. You gain sustenance and satisfaction. Or even if you gain embarrassment, you're still eating it because they're. And it's like, this is what's happening.
Of course, the ice palace isn't in the newsletter.
We're not going to use that.
That's what I just said. It's not even funny, but
let's go to Philippians. I said that.
Philippians.
Chapter 2. Well, actually, chapter 1 first.
Philippians
Verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, to be with Christ, or to, what he's talking about is to die, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance of joy, furtherance and joy of faith. And he goes down, it's a bunch of other things. And then he said, in verse, chapter 2, verse 2, fulfill you my joy that you may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one mind, of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery or something to be grasped, to be equal with God, and made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And in verse 7, but made himself of no reputation. There's one word. It's kino in the Greek, and it means 100% emptied. So that he was always living in the total dependence on God. He never did anything of his own understanding. Now, and then, in verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. And go over to chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness or rightness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting or neglecting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect or fully tested, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, that whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetites, and whose glory is in their shame, for they mind earthly things. For out of prison, he comes to reign, and he that is born in his kingdom shall be made poor. Any response? I haven't read this for a long time. If I can find it. When you are forgotten or neglected or purposely set at naught, and you don't sting or hurt with the insult or the oversight, but your heart is happy being counted worthy to suffer for Christ, that is dying to self. When your good is evil spoken of, when your wishes are crossed, your advice disregarded, your opinions ridiculed, and you refuse to let anger rise in your heart, even defend yourself, but take it all in patient, loving silence, that is dying to self. When you lovingly and patiently bear any disorder, any irregularity, any impunctuality, any annoyance, when you stand face to face with waste, folly, extravagance, spiritual insensibility, and endure it as Jesus endured, that is dying to self. When you are content with any food, any offering, any weather, any people, any raiment, any interruption, that is dying to self. When you can see your brother prosper and have his needs met and can honestly rejoice with him in spirit and feel no envy nor question God while your own needs are far greater and in desperate circumstances, that is dying to self. When you can receive correction and reproof from one of less stature than yourself and can humbly submit inwardly as well as outwardly, finding no rebellion or resentment rising within your heart, that is dying to self. In these last days, the Spirit would bring us to the cross, that I may know him, being made conformable unto his death. For out of prison he shall come to reign. Those born in his kingdom shall become poor. You maybe wonder why things haven't gone your way. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which has come upon you to try you, as though some strange thing had happened. Believe Paul, the evidence that you believe a false gospel is that you think suffering is strange. What, Gary?
Well, I was thinking how if you're seeing from this place, his rod and his staff does comfort you.
Amen.
Yeah. But if you're not seeing in this place, it's totally aggravating. Just go bob the way.
That's why the
the religion that you profess with your mouth is meaningless. It's the religion that goes on in your temple that God sees. Take a big guy. Mr. Kevin, do you have about 2 minutes, or do you need to run real quick?